This week on the Commander Clash podcast, we're coming to you from Magic Con Vegas, and we're going to be talking about the Magic Con and about some new spoilers, and it's going to be super fun. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander Clash podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. And this week, we're in a dimly lit hotel room in Magic Con Vegas. Actually, the lighting's not that bad, is it?
It's okay.
Let us know in the comments. Anyway, we're going to be talking about our con experience. We're 2 days into the Magic, well, actually kind of 1 day into the Magic Con, but it's Saturday morning. We've had a day at the con. We got a ton of spoilers, and we're going to be talking about Magic Con Vegas today. But before we get into that, we got a crew to introduce, and we got almost everyone here today. No Richard, because he had a baby and couldn't make it to the con, but we got everyone else. So yeah, excuses. We have Tomer, we got Krim, we got Phil, we got Morgan. How's the con been so far, guys? Has it a good
Amazing.
Day one?
Yeah.
I am tired. Yeah. I'm tired and it is day one.
That is normal Magic Con, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Morgan might be the most tired. I think you stayed out latest last night out of the whole group.
I'm running on about 3 hours of sleep right now, and I feel fine right now. Phil got me a coffee, but I think in like a couple hours I might die.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I'll be rooting for you. When it comes to stuff like this. And I'm his roomie in here, so I went to bed at 12, which was already super late for me. But then since I'm super jet-lagged, I wake up every 2 hours, and then I check the bed. It's like, whoa, he's not here yet. And then I check, like, whoa, it's 3 o'clock in the evening. What
I'm
if
not,
you got
I'm
abducted
not some
or something?
I'm not some party animal.
Like, oh, my God, it's Vegas. Everything can happen.
I listened to the live band, and then the person I've been hanging out with down at the bar the last couple of nights was like, wait, so you don't gamble at all? And he lent me $100. And he just taught me how to like play games and stuff. So like,
what the heck?
That sounds fun.
I lost him $40, but it's fine.
Hey, at least it wasn't your money.
It wasn't my money.
Anyway, before we get into the con stuff, we got some sponsors today. Today's show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution for flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put a pack in your storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Our show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip on Card Conduit. You can use your curated service when you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of $1 or more, and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment when your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/MTGGoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And this is when we
normally do the comment of the week, but it's a live Vegas cast. We'll get back to that next week. So leave a good comment
and maybe I'll show up on the next show. So anyway, let's talk Magic Con Vegas. So let's start with the easiest question. We're 1 day into the con. What was the best part of day one for you guys? What are any highlights? Anything stick out about day one of Magic Con Vegas?
Oh, very easily. I mean, seeing Paul Bettany. Paul Bettany, like previewing the vision card, seeing the Mind Stone, seeing all of that. And I don't know, this is like for all the Comic-Con attenders, Hall H, this kind of big thing at every Comic-Con. This is like Magic's Hall H, or at least it feels like it. And I would have rathered at Comic-Con if cool actors and whatnot came out and just previewed Magic cards. But so this is like
does
a better
play?
Hall H.
Does he play?
I don't even know.
We don't know if he actually plays. I'd like to assume that he probably doesn't. But the main
We'd
thing
like
is,
to assume he
hey,
doesn't.
That's
We'd
like
to assume he doesn't.
I assume he doesn't.
I hope he has better
I assume
things
he
to
does,
do.
Right? I don't know. But the main thing here is I thought it was really sweet, right? Like that he was there. Like at Magic Con, Paul Bettany is there. That is funny as heck.
I mean, that is pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, this has been the biggest con yet by far. Yeah.
Oh
this
my
place
God.
Is
oh my God,
even
yeah.
compared to like last year, which I think was the biggest con ever when we did last year's Vegas.
Really?
This one is way bigger. Like yeah. the hall is way bigger.
Well,
there's way more
they
people.
They split it off into like two sections.
There's,
so like
yeah. yeah.
So normally it's like one full convention hall, right? And it's like, wow, I can't believe they fit this many people in here. And they have that, and that's where all the vendors and the art and the main stage is. And then you like walk through this corridor. There's another giant convention hall. That's the command zone and the ticketed play. Like it's so freaking huge.
Yeah, I don't think Phil found the command zone until like 8 o'clock last night.
Because
you don't know
existed.
The room
exists. It's like, oh my gosh, it keeps going.
Yeah, so I thought, oh, this is very big, but it's kind of weird that the play spaces are so like mm-hmm. weirdly placed. And then people kept saying like the command zone. And I never saw something that is called the command zone. And I thought this is just how people call like tables
the
to play.
Play yeah.
So I told people like, yeah, I'm probably here or here or here. And in case you watch this and you never saw me again, for the rest of the con, I'm probably going to be at this whole other convention hall that I found yesterday evening, which has the command zone with all the stuff I complained about. So there's judges running around. You can find matches.
Wait, there's a command zone? I didn't even see it. Yeah,
it's in another hall.
It's
in another hall.
It's where the pro tour is.
So I tell people, like, wasn't there, like, judges running around? Because we had a pretty interesting question. And I asked some staff member from WotC, and he found a judge and asked them. But like that would have been his point to say, well, actually, there's a whole command zone of judges.
Because you were probably playing in the free play area or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
where
playing,
they
no,
literally
playing
just, like,
at
do
the
whatever you want.
Creator area. But then okay. this was split up into multiple tables as well. So I would just, if I found people that looked like they want to play Commander, I'd just say, oh, we're going to play right here. But sorry if I said I'm going to be at the creator area or whatever. Nah, command zone is where it's at. It's the other hall. I don't know. It's probably
this,
too late when you hear this.
This also is going to come up way after.
Yeah, so we're sorry. part of what's great about the command zone, too, is like, yeah, they have the judges over there, but they'll have, like, if you're looking for a specific bracket, they'll even, because it's kind of hard to find a table, hard to find people who are looking for an open game. They'll have people, the staff members, walking around with the signs like, mm-hmm. like who wants a bracket three game, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so helpful. They've had that the last couple years, but
mm-hmm.
I just
that's what
can't
I was missing,
get over yeah. how helpful that is.
Yeah. Especially like, we never have trouble finding games. Because
people
I
had trouble finding
really?
A game yesterday. That's why I complained about it. Like I found two people, but then finding a fourth is like, eh. And then I found this guy that I meet every Vegas. Shout out to you if you listen to this. And then I said to him, well, you're lucky because I told him, well, we got to play a game. And then we found a fourth guy. But that was the creator bonus. And that's usually why we don't have problems. But yesterday, it was so weird because everybody, I don't know
if everyone knew about both halls.
That might be true. I mean, if we didn't know about both halls, some of us until the end of the night, I'm sure other people
I'm
are in
sure,
the same
sure, because it
position.
Still looks huge. If you only see the
even
main
the one
hall
is
it's
still
like,
very big, yeah.
Oh, this is huge. And then there's like this whole, even bigger hall. That's where the Pro Tour is at, right?
The so Pro Tour is also back in that area.
That should have reminded me that it,
I think the
thing was missing something.
I think the matchmaking, though, was like super helpful. If you're intimidated mm-hmm. by the con, right? It's your first con. Maybe you aren't comfortable walking up to strangers and trying to find a game. Like, they will help you do that. Yeah. Like, they will make sure you get into the game and try to match your power level. So I think it's like really, really helpful for people like that. And I've met a ton of people that have said, this is my first ever con.
Yep.
Like, I started playing 6 months ago. I started playing a year ago. I really love this game. First time going to a con. There's been so many people like that that have been here, which is so cool to see.
Yeah.
What about you, Tomer? Any highlights from day one of Magic Con Vegas?
I just liked soaking everything in. Like, I got to see so many people that, like, a lot of Europeans managed to come across. So it was really cool to see, like, the European scene representing and just, like, just meeting a lot of people was just, like, delightful. And just, like, meeting all the fans, too. Because, like, I don't know, working remote and making videos, you see, like, you measure success by, like, view count, but it's, like, 10 times better to just, like, meet people and they're like, hey, I like your content, or hey, this deck you made was something that I built and I had a lot of fun with it. And, like, that's, like, the best thing ever. So that's why I really love MagicCon just in general, is just, like, getting to put faces to people who, you know, watch my content and stuff, and it feels incredibly rewarding, incredibly humbling. And then also getting to meet other people in the community is just super awesome. So just like that is, it's the gathering. I know it's such a like a, such a like a, such a everybody says it's like a mean thing, but it really
it's true,
is
though.
Just like meeting everybody in one spot and having an excuse to meet everybody is just so incredible.
And it's fun because you like meet fans and like, oh, I was just wandering around and I like stumbled into Brian Kibler and it was so cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah,
I'm like, where's Brian?
That
only
so
cool.
At like MagicCon. Right? That's where you're gonna have the chance of stuff like that happening.
Yeah.
So, what about game wise? Anything stick out as far as the games you got to play yesterday? Any like cool tech or cool stories? What about that kind of stuff? I'll say, I got to play against Joshua G and.
Classic.
The legend returns.
Yeah. The legend returns. Wow. I can't remember.
My game with him yesterday was also super fun.
It was
so.
Super good. I can't remember his girlfriend's name. Does anyone remember him?
I feel
so bad. Please.
Yeah, no, I don't remember
I'm so bad with names because we play every year and I feel so bad I remember the name. It was such a cool deck. It was an Abigail deck from the new Secrets of Strixhaven, which is like this janky uncommon that I never would have thought about building a commander deck around. But it's like prepares itself whenever you have a creature enter.
Yeah, I think
it's, and then it's like it's a 2-mana so spell strong. That puts a counter on something.
You do heroic.
And it was all these heroic effects that like when you cast a spell, it makes a creature. Oh, so it keeps re-preparing and trigger heroic a bunch of times. And it actually looked really impressive. Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, I might have to try to build an Abigail deck because it looked really cool. And it played. It actually won the game that I played. And I think you played against the same deck.
I played against a similar deck.
A similar deck.
She had a she was on a killing spree, apparently. After the game I had, she was like, I'm undefeated today. I was like, that's crazy. She has another deck that's Bant Owls and just as many owl arts as possible.
Nice.
Like bracket one,
year.
Bracket two.
Saw that one last
and
year.
I was like, I had like two or three times where I would like, all right, I'm going to try to win the game here, swing for lethal. And she would have some answer. And one of them was the storm card.
Oh,
that you sacrifice attacking creatures, got the owl on it.
Shards of feathers is so sick.
And then so afterwards, I'm like, I die on the crack back to all these freaking owls. Richard would be proud.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Morgan, would you sign this? And I was like, okay. it was a really sick deck. I loved janky theme decks, but also birds.
And I love janky theme decks when they actually do well. That's the best part is seeing like the bracket one, bracket two decks actually like popping off and doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Phil?
I had a game yesterday, like the first game of the day. I had 2.5 hours to kill before the meet and greet. So I met people and said, well, we can have an excruciatingly long game if we want to. And it turned out to be kind of that, although it was fun. So I played Lowness and there was the Pantlaz or something, the Discover Dinosaur.
Oh.
Then some Nelly Borka and Glarb, I think. So the Soul Typhrog. So we all had pretty good late game and pretty interesting decks. But the way it ended was like, I turned out like at some point after a couple of board wipes, I did build a huge board and stole a Mace of Ith, or like the thing that turns into a Mace of Ith with the Agent of Treachery. And then I was at 13 life. And the next player played a card that damages everybody for each land they control.
Acidic Soil?
And it was exactly because...
Sounds like Acidic Soil.
I don't know, something red. And it was exactly because I stole their lands.
Wow.
I guess I deserve this.
That's good.
They had other ways to kill me, though. But it was funny for the story. Just like, oh, that's on me.
I only played one commander game, and then I played Standard.
Oh my god, I was like, all right, that'll be fun.
I brought my Standard deck and I put a call out to play some Standard, but the one commander game I played, Seth, I annihilated Seth per the usual.
Oh my god.
Nice.
It was awesome though. It wasn't even my deck.
That game was so brutal.
So we were playing against someone with precons and we wanted to match power levels. So we like borrowed their precons and they were 2 Eldrazi precons.
Yeah.
And
it was like a heavy play raffle winner after the meet.
Everyone was just annihilating everyone else's stuff. It was amazing. Terrifying.
I annihilated Seth.
Good old bracket two.
I annihilated by absolutely. Like, I annihilated Seth for like only 2.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but Seth annihilated me for like 50. Hey. I'm just like, oh my god.
No half measures, Chris.
Yeah, no half measures.
And then I think Morgan, you got a little annihilated too.
I got like a little bit of it, it was good old fun fair bracket too.
Seth did a lot of annihilating though.
There might have been like a copied Eldrazi conscription.
Swinging for 27 annihilator 5 or something. I was like, oh no.
It got out of hand super fast.
One thing I took from the first game was Sunforger got pretty good recently. Like, there's so many cards that got like there's infinite protection, infinite removal, and value with it. Like, it is still kind of pricey, and you need a creature and stuff. But I forgot this existed.
And if you can equip for free, it becomes absolutely disgusting because then it's only 2 mana to unequip and do its thing. Yeah.
What what's the coolest Carter deck you saw yesterday? Not even game, just like
the one the. mono blue five color deck was super
impressive. Oh, yeah. The Greco Mondo. Yeah. Someone yeah, was showing. I didn't play against it, but they showed
that was the most reader cards I've had in a while. Like, oh, I saw this in Limited 2 years ago, but what?
2 years ago? It came out like a month
two ago. Months
ago.
There were so many cards that are like, I don't know, something. That's I guess it was Loven Eclipse or something, but there were so many cards now.
Yeah.
It was the Turtles.
It was very cool.
Turtles 3 drops.
Yeah, the Commander, I remember. I remember not
You can discard a card and it gets hexproof and it becomes a color.
Yeah.
Until end of turn, and then if it deals combat damage, you draw a card for each colored permanent you control. And it was mono blue, and his entire plan is to become five colors, so you can draw five cards each time he hits. And he did it by like stealing people's creatures and permanents and
Aragorn and stuff. Like they were like,
he had like something that's like from Puka's something something. It enters, you choose a color, and it becomes that artifact has to becomes that color. And like also like tokens of certain colors too. You can make tokens. It was very, very, very interesting. And that was, I only played two games yesterday, by the way. I played Seki to show Daniel Holt, who's like a Kamigawa number one fan. And I never had a chance to play Seki because he's eight mana. I did win. And then he is like, you didn't show me Seki. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's eight mana. It has no protection. It doesn't do anything. So I was very close, but the game was too fast. And then I played against two raffle winners from Heavy Play with Phil.
Game
I did
was
everything.
So weird. Then I did a
huge thing. I was like, okay, now I'm gonna swing for lethal, and I could have tutored up with what's his face,
the Magda. Thing,
Magda. But like, my brain was so fried that I'm just like, I'm just gonna swing out. I'm just gonna hope for the best. And then Phil like does like something
grand crescendo,
huge token army, indestructible. I get chump blocked. He swings and he kills me. He did like nothing that game.
Nothing.
I used one spell, swings that kills me, and I'm like, yep, that's the meta, Richard actually. Way. That's the meta. The best way to play Commander is do nothing and then you win.
Game I already mentioned was probably my favorite, but the last game yesterday was also kind of interesting. There was a fan who was like really excited. He's like, Morgan, I know you love jank decks. I have a deck that's all about skipping your turn. Can I show you? And I was like, that sounds awesome. Mm. And it took him forever to get the engine. But once he had the engine, I was like, wait a second. This is just stats.
it's a Chronotog, the person who came to sign.
Yeah,
It was a cool deck.
Like that idea all is to skip like, all your turns.
So the plan is that I play against this deck as well. So I'll keep you updated. Maybe I try to kill them before I see it, now that I hear about it.
I got to see Guardian Sunmare pop off really hard in the last game I played.
Yeah,
which
I've really
never seen that card, actually. It wasn't even a horse deck. It was like an Ishin attack trigger deck. But they managed to like Ishin, and then they had the Windstar Craig or whatever that like doubles combat. So they ended up like tutoring out like six things every time they attacked, and then they started doing multiple combats. So they were just like tutoring their entire deck into play with Guardian Sunmare, and it was actually really cool.
It
ended up winning too, yeah.
Yep.
Anything else you want to share about the con before we move on? They did a preview panel at the con, and we got some spoilers, and there's some interesting cards and maybe some I want to complain about a little bit. But any other con stuff we want to talk about before we talk some spoilers?
I know that Bill's complained about the long lines at the vendors, but yeah. I've had a great time just like selling cards, taking that money, turning around and buying the expensive versions of those same cards. I've been blinging out my decks and it's been quite successful. Actually think I'm up too, because I also had some Jumpstart booster boxes that I was like, my playgroup's never going to use these. I'm going to sell these. So I actually think I'm up financially, even though I keep doing that trick of just like selling cards, buying the more expensive
trick. I almost never buy cards. And so I almost never look at the vendors for like shopping and stuff. But like what I noticed was... the prices here are actually pretty good.
Yeah,
like,
they're not bad.
Usually I meme on like American prices because we have Card Market, and the Card Market prices are always so much cheaper, just like by like 15%, 20%. Here, they were actually like sometimes better than Card Market. And I was like, wow, that's cool. So I picked up a Terror of the Week, but it was,
yesterday,
I lost mine.
Yesterday in bed, I ordered the textless Omnath because we played at the hotel on the first day, and I said, well, there's this textless version of this, but it's super expensive. And then I checked Card Market and it was like $35. It was only one seller at this price, but that's all I need. And then I checked the American price was like $120 or something.
Wow.
So I did get the textless on that. That also means that I switch out the one that EK got me, the editor. So if you listen to this, thank you. It's going to be in one deck at some point. So I'm not going to lose the card, but I gotta get the textless jelly bean.
There's also just a lot of crazy stuff at this con. Like, there's so much stuff. Yeah. There's like a mini golf course, putt-putt course.
Yeah.
There's a room full of cats. I don't know if you saw this. It's just like a room full of
actual cats.
Actual, that's what I said. It is actual live cats, and you can go play with like kittens in the room. Like,
they're booked out.
You can get tattoos.
I love it. They're booked out. That's hilarious.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, obviously. I gotta say, like, we don't really have time to play mini golf because it is time intensive, but it would be a great Patreon video, honestly. Just the whole crew plays mini golf, but it would be like...
Filming it would be a nightmare in a con with 35,000 people. Yeah.
Oh, we played action golf. I guess that's a good compromise.
Plus, if we're going to golf, I'm going to want to like hit you with my club and stuff after the last game.
Pull out the landmine.
We got a golf cart and everything. But it has like pinball too, so I thought that was pretty rad.
Yeah. Oh, and then Krim, dude, every con, you have someone that gifts you like a brutal counter spell. And now
that's
I'm understanding why you counter all my spells. Because people literally just come up and like, oh, here's a Force of Will, Krim. Put it in your decks and counter spell.
He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. You know, look, you're not going to say no, right?
Yeah, if like, I this complain? Is gifted it's a to gift. Me.
Are you really going to make it so I can't play this Force of Will now? Now I actually have a Force of Will to use.
When you see the stats, it'll be like the most played cards from Krim. It'll be like
counter spells he's been
all these
gifted.
Things this person, mystery person, is gifting him.
I was gifted the adorable Strixhaven Mystical Archive Rift. I was gifted a Force of Will. And Jason, who hooked it up and was so nice enough to even give me that Force of Will, also gave me a foil mana drain the year before.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. So I think it is, I'm sorry, like, you know, hey, these counter spells, they come into play, you know?
I guess.
Are you guys going to be mad about it?
Mana drain is ramp. It's
fine. Yeah, it's blue Farsi, so it's fine.
As long as people start gifting you Deadpool, then
it's all over.
Okay.
So he's already having enough Deadpool, though.
Gifted Deadpool, right? Can I play it?
No.
You want to deny him his gifts?
So... the person who made the secret layer prosperous innkeeper gave us artist prints, like artist proofs.
Yeah.
And I play prosperous innkeeper in so many decks, but the artist proof is going to go into the Clash collection, which means we're still going to see it because I play it in every green creature deck.
It's so cool.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever I have, it's going to be that one.
Yeah. I love the cards.
The art,
we got it so signed good. On the back.
Yeah. We signed the artist proof on the back. That's
so cool.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk some spoilers. So they did a preview panel yesterday, and they previewed stuff from a bunch of different sets. But I know, Krim, you've been waiting for Marvel. Marvel's the next set, right?
I was lied to, by the way, on that ordering. The way they talked about it in the preview poster, they're like, Marvel, Hobbit, Reality
They
Fracture.
Said the best stuff first.
And that's really weird because Marvel didn't start, right? So, but like, so the problem was, like, I had to sit through The Hobbit. And I'm just like... And then by the time the panel was done, I had to leave.
Why Bilbo catching strays?
Because, I'm sorry, I do, like,
there's
cool cards. There's cool cards in there, don't get me wrong. Box toppers.
Not only liking Marvel, but also not liking Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes, quality. There's quality to be loved. And again.
It's a classic.
Yeah,
it's
I agree. The Vision, the Avengers, comic books, not MCU. comic books, not MCU.
So the most important card that they spoiled from Marvel was another Infinity Stone. The Mind Stone. So this is a white one. It's just like the black one they did in Spider-Man. So this is the white version. It's a 2-mana white mana rock, legendary artifact Infinity Stone, indestructible. It makes white. You can pay 6, tap it, harness the Mind Stone. And then once you do, you have Infinity. And the beginning end step, you can exile up to 1 target non-land permanent you control, return to the battlefield under its owner's control. So a mana rock that turns into like a teleportation circle.
Not
kind of.
It's non-land permanent. So
yeah,
you can even like ultimate planeswalkers. That is, again, why.
I mean, is it good? I think we're all going to just unanimously agree that
this time you don't need to
exile.
2
mana rock indestructible.
It's
going to be like the Soul Stone where it's like you should play it, but it's going to be like $100. So like,
which
are
makes
you...
it even worse. It's like it's a staple, but also most people can't afford putting it in their decks because it's going to be $80.
Yes. So it's a cool card that's strong that no one
plays. I don't think anyone's going to question if this
cool.
is good. Right? Like this is very, I do think it is very cool.
I do think it is very corporate cool. Corporate talk. It's very exciting. I know people will be very excited about it, and they will be genuinely very excited, happy for the people who are excited about it. But I think. I don't think it's a healthy design, and I also don't think it's a healthy price point.
I don't think the price point's great.
Yeah. And a mythic mana rock is crazy.
You can use a regular Mind Stone, put the in front of it.
Yeah, hey, that's a great
and
proxy.
Play it as a proxy. And if people say, I don't want to play against proxies, you say, okay, this is a Mind Stone now. And then it plays, it fills the exact role, but on turn 7 or 6, I guess.
That's
you can say, oh, I also have this.
Or I guess the one time Seth decides to play Wave of Vitriol.
I'm going to play more with
that.
That
was more. The funniest.
Shia.
You have to bleep me out. I'm so sorry. Vegas time, baby.
The problem with the Mind Stone, though, like, this card's good, but we already have a card called the Mind Stone.
No, we have a Mind Stone.
We have, you can't just put the in front of a card that's existed in Magic for 30 years. One of the most
seen, have you seen movies?
And have it be the.
Have you seen movies?
Well, they also have the. Always,
wait, okay, okay. How about this, Grim? I'm playing a Commander game, and I want to play a Mind Stone, and I say, play the Mind Stone, I'm naming a different frigging magic card.
Disqualified.
A Mind Stone. If you pit the needle or whatever, if you say Mind Stone or the Mind Stone, two very different things.
Oh, no, this might be Bobo Richmond.
This actually might be relevant.
It would also be funny if you have both on the battlefield, and then I say, I'm going to blow up your Mind Stone. You're going to be like, oh, well, you got this one. You got this one.
I don't know how you're going to blow up outside of Wave of
Vitriol. Yeah, I should distract them. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so good.
You're wrong in multiple levels.
Exciting design.
I don't think. Okay, come on, guys. It's not that big a deal, is it?
It's just.
I think it's jarring. I think it's jarring if like you only know magic, right? But like as someone who knows both for all time,
you can't change the name.
It's not that big a deal to me. Like this is like splitting hairs.
I don't know if. Maybe they have to do this, but is it lazy that like the borderless treatment is literally the same one as the borderless treatment for the soul stone? It's just
the stones in
it.
You're talking about like the Thanos one with the gauntlet.
You're never going to see it, so I guess it's worse. It'll still be $1 billion. He will still pay the money.
They probably have to.
Who cares? $1,000s. You want to get it?
I'm not buying it anyway, so it's fine. It could be $1 million if people still pay it.
Yeah, I still. Crazy.
Who would buy it?
Why is it just mana rocks? I feel like this was like a design space that they had to do, and it's kind of cool that it's like split over the sets and stuff.
It's because they wanted to make commander staples.
That it's
just
generic concept. Mana it's rocks is like,
And then we'll get back to the spoilers. This was supposed to be the debut of Mark Rosewater's like redacted secret event, which is his mood swings game that he's been trying to do for 30 years. And then the product apparently didn't show up at the Magic Con, so they had to, like, I guess they didn't cancel the event, and they tried to do something with, like, playtest versions or something, but people couldn't get their copies of the game. And then we also found out they're going to sell it through Secret Lairs, but they made, like, 150 cards or something, and the Secret Lairs, you get, like, 40 cards, mm-hmm. and there's Mythics and Rares and Commons and Uncommons, so you don't actually, it's not like a living card game where you get the whole game, you're, like, still kind of doing the loot box thing to try to put together mood swings. So I feel kind
of layers of sad.
I feel so bad for Mark because I know this is like a huge passion project for him, and it just didn't go the way
they launched ads like I saw on Instagram, for example, like hours before like the event should have been like started and stuff. He was like introducing mood swings coming soon. 28 years I've been working on this, trying to get this out, and then like right like 2 hours after I saw that post. I saw, oh, by the way, Mood Swings is getting canceled for MagicCon Vegas. And I'm like,
Mark. Yikes. It also just makes me much less excited for it that you don't just buy the whole game. I was thinking, pick up one of these and have the game and that'll be cool. But the fact that it's like a set of 150 cards and you only get some of that.
So that's I'm okay with. Because the way he pitches it is basically, it's not like you're playing one deck versus another. It's like communal. It's like it's like a board game.
It's a shared deck.
It's a shared deck. You play it like almost like Dan. But the idea is like everybody has a little bit of different experience. There's no advantage to getting other cards because you're not like, I'm playing my deck against your deck and oh, I want more cards to have like better varieties or whatever again to beat you. Everyone will be a little bit different. Okay. So like, okay, you can have different cards in it. You can mix and match. You can change it up a little bit.
Okay, so here's my counterpoint to that. Then why do rarity? If you just want to have there be a whole bunch of different cards and you get some random ones, the fact that there's going to be mythic moods that you're not going to get many. So, like, they're trying to monetize it like a booster pack, right? Yeah. So that's the part that I'm like, It just feels weird. I was expecting to buy a board game, basically, and yeah. It doesn't feel like a board game.
I mean, that's how I was looking at it. It's like, I'm just going to buy a version. I don't really have an inclination
but
to buy more cards.
What if you don't get
cards?
The mythic mood that you really want, Tomer? What if anger is missing and you really need the anger mood?
I take a piece of paper.
I take a
proxying moon swings already? Moon swing proxy?
If it's impossible to get the card, whatever. Who cares?
I'm still going to try it, though, because I want to support Mark, because I know he's going to it. So I'm going to try to snag a secret layer just for that reason.
Yeah.
You mentioned Smog earlier. That's a headliner from Lord of the Rings. What do you guys think of the Smog card? So it's a 4-mana 3/4 flying haste legendary dragon. Red. It says whenever it attacks, it deals damage equal to the number of treasures you control to any target. And depending on your upkeep, you make a treasure token. So this is the one that gets a serialized card and all that. Is this a commander card? Is this supposed to be a standard card? Is it both? What do you guys think of Smog?
Boros Dragons? Is it 4?
Boros Dragons? I mean, 4-3 flying haste for 4 isn't
having
bad.
Momo put that out, like, maybe.
It has,
like, Bullspan Dragon vibes, but I don't think it's as good as Bullspan Dragon.
You have to wait an entire turn to get that treasure. Yeah. So unless, if you have a lot of treasures, this is like a... in Commander, I don't know in Standard, in Commander, there's a lot of red decks happen to make a lot of treasures.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is going to be a great
and especially dragons. Like a lot of the good dragons give you payoffs for your treasure. So it seems good there.
I just don't think, like, I was Standard brain for a second. I'm like, is a Goldspan Dragon? It's not. But
I think in Standard, it would mostly just be like a beatdown.
Yeah,
it also just get bounced instantly as soon as you try to do anything. Because it only is a 4/3.
I mean, it does have
it's only boomerang basics doesn't immediately get it.
That's part, true. No, but like a lot of the burn, like the lessons burn and all it's three toughness, right?
Yeah.
So this is definitely a commander card.
Yeah.
And one that I think will be very good in commander.
I think you need to have treasures. Like if you don't have like a lot of treasure producers, I feel like a lot of people are hyped about this being like, it's just a generic red staple. It's like, I don't think playing a 4/3
and then to get one. Wait, you don't think you could just play it as a treasure generator.
You could play anything as just a treasure generator.
I don't think
if it makes treasures,
like,
but I don't think it's good.
In a treasure deck, it'd be fine, but I don't think I'd just play it in like a random mono red deck.
I think a lot of red decks happen to make treasure. Like my Clive deck is not a treasure deck, but like I have a lot of things like Professional Facebreaker.
This is a big store.
Knuckles. I have Knuckles in there.
Knuckles
is obviously. So I don't have that many, but I'm probably going to put it because it's 2 red pips.
I'm very curious about it because I almost want to just play it as a way to just make treasures every turn.
Interesting.
On top of a body.
But
it's also a removal spell. If I need
but only if you have a lot of treasure.
But now there isn't
any treasure. It's not much removal. It is any target that you
have. It is any target.
It is funny that, so we talked about this before, like on the first day when we met, we said like, Smog's got to be the headliner. And we said, it's got to kind of be a 2-drop if they want to make it playable. And they tried. I think that is as playable as you can make something aggressive
for
4.
What if it was 2 mana?
Yeah.
Indestructible.
I think 4 mana is too cheap for
whenever
a small...
it taps, you make a treasure.
I think they should have embraced it and said made it like something
I
like ancient gold dragon or something instead. Brass, whatever, the red one. Which would also be fitting for Smog. Maybe just embrace that it's a cool commander.
I think if you build around it, it's probably good though, right? Because you just make a bunch of treasures and just
the
like
the fact that it,
kill
if
people.
You give it lifelink or stuff, or actually you just need it to give it death touch and then you just need one treasure to
I would just follow the Mind Stone. I would just be 2 mana indestructible, 2/2 flying haste, or maybe 5/5, whatever. And then when it taps, it makes a treasure. I'm not even joking. And then because his entire thing is he's like, I'm indestructible. My armor is made out of gold and diamonds, yo. And
wow,
then,
that's exactly
and then,
like a movie.
And then, and then one shot from the Black Arrow kills it. So that would be like it gets around indestructible or exiles a creature.
Boom.
Bam. Done.
I'm sad there's no special treatment where it's just Benedict Cumberbatch in a mocap suit.
No, that's
just
what
he's so just crawling around
that,
on the ground.
They didn't show that one yet. But
I guess
coming.
That's fair. That's
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The
bonus
when they
count.
Do that, what was it, the next MagicCon where it's going to be the is it going to be the Hobbit? I don't even know at them.
I don't know
Hobbit.
I think the next one's Marvel.
Okay, but the Hobbit one, they'll have Benedict Cumberbatch come in his like green, like the dots and everything on his face,
the mocap suit.
And then he just like crawls, and then it shows the card. Oh,
I would want that.
Oh, I would get that one too, actually.
So the last set they talked about was Reality Fracture, and I've really been waiting to see what this set was about, because they, for like a year now, I think from last MagicCon Vegas, they started teasing, like, it's going to be doing something crazy we've never done before, but we can't tell you. So we found out it's a What If set, right? So it's not exactly
By the way,
Chaos.
What If,
oh, it's just
the
What
Marvel
If.
The Marvel series is what's inspired this.
Oh, really?
What If for Full Circle? Mm. Well, also, Avengers Endgame probably inspired War of the Spark, right? Let's be honest.
Yeah,
that's true.
What If is like, I think there's like heavy speculation that this is just, you know, what if magic had What If?
But that's a pretty common trope, too. Like, so I'm reading a What If scenario, too.
It kind of sucks that it's What If, because I like the, I guess we kind of talk about the theme there, but I, at least the flip Strixhaven was always what I thought about, like, what do the other colleges do?
What we found out about this set is it's basically Strixhaven, but they're calling it Hexhaven. There's going to be some other
evil
version. But it's like evil Strixhaven, basically, where everything, the colors
goatees.
Are different. It's like a hat set, but a beard.
I think it's hilarious that Quandrix is Theryx, and that's where I'm just like, they just have to be bad at math.
That's cool.
They're bad at math.
But my favorite is like Stinghaven. It's like, whoa, what are we going to learn? Something pinchy, maybe?
They had actual stingers in Sting Mage or whatever, Stingcaster Mage.
I'll just be like, this is going to be like Piercer Mage, and you know, the Stinging Study is going to be a reprint, probably. Wait, that's going to be sick.
That's great, actually.
So we did get some spoilers. One of them was one that leaked a little bit ago. You mentioned a Grim Stingcaster Mage. It's like a Red Snapcaster Mage, except instead of having Flash, it had Haste. So you got to play it at sorcery speed. Is this card good, Grim? Like, how good do you think Red Snapcaster is? Is like a 2-mana, 2-1 Haste that does the Snapcaster thing when it enters? Is that a playable card, or do you really need the Flash? Like, how big is Flash on Snapcaster?
I think Flash is what makes Snapcaster.
And we have Flash back in Red now, which it doesn't give the body, but it works like a Snapcaster. Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, spells are so cheap right now.
Also,
like 1-mana in Standard and all that, so I could deep play.
Counterpoint, I've heard Mono Red has been pretty good in Standard, in at least historically speaking. So maybe Haste is actually relevant.
The body is nice, right?
Yeah.
Like when it was legal, what was that card from Ixalan? Exiled a spell from your opponent's graveyard.
Oh, Dire Fleet something. Dire Fleet Daredevil.
Dire Fleet Daredevil. That was played, right?
Will this actually make the, what's it called? The thing that has like firebending, the little firebending student or something.
Maybe this could be a chasis for it. I mean, I think it's like a Snapcaster for aggro decks is what it feels like. Yeah. Right? Like, the 2-1 haste is kind of nice in aggro deck.
Even if you just like get your Bolt Wave back or something, that's a lot of damage that you can represent. So
I think Snapcaster, the Flash is really important in control, because you want to flash back counter spells and stuff.
Flash blocker, you know, all of that.
But this was like mono red aggro card to me.
Get back
a roll. Which would be a shift in like functionality of what Snap is, right? So
from control to aggro.
Yeah, so that would make sense how this would play. It would have to play well in aggro, right?
So the other thing they're doing in these packs is really neat, is they have all these cards that you get two versions of, right? So we saw like Chandra Torch of Defiance, the original Planeswalker from years ago that we already had.
Okay. Which is coming back in Standard.
That's coming
actually
back.
That was a bomb in Standard.
And we're also getting a blue version, which is Chandra Chill of Compliance, which is kind of the inverted version. And they said that if you open a pack and you get one of these, you're going to get both of them in every pack. Because they were worried that people wouldn't know. Like, if you're a new player and you just see blue Chandra, you might think Chandra's a blue character. So if you do get one of these, it's going to be red Chandra and blue Chandra in your pack. And that applies to all of them.
That's limited, though. I guess in...
It's going to be
limited is going to be insane.
It's
going to
be crazy in pick two drafts.
Something you can just take I don't think I'm going to pick two this round, because that one is going to be brutal.
Wow.
What do you think of blue Chandra, though? So blue Chandra, Chill of Compliance, 3-mana, 3 loyalty, plus 1 surveil 1. If you put a non-creature, non-land card in your graveyard this way, put that card in your hand. Plus 1 at a blue mana, use it only to spend to cast non-creature spells. Negative X, tap X target artifacts or creatures, put X stun counters on it. Or no, I'm sorry, tap A target artifact or creature, put X stun counters on it. Negative 6 emblem, whenever you cast a spell, draw a card.
I mean, it is literally Torch, but
what's
like
the starting
blue.
Loyalty?
3 loyalty, 3 mana.
I I like that, again, that surveil, and then you can, if you throw it into the bin, you actually draw it.
We have a lot of spell heavy Izzet decks right now. Yeah, where that is going to be draw a card like half the time probably in some decks.
I think it's like not playable in Commander because it's like,
I don't think Planeswalkers are kind
of nerfed. The fact that you have to defend Planeswalkers from three people instead of just one just makes it so much harder.
But what if they just do a bunch of Planeswalkers in this set and they like do what they did in Edge of Eternity? They're like, oh, well, now you can have vehicles as your commander, and they're going to use this as the excuse. Oh, now you can use Planeswalkers as your commander. They could. They could.
I think it has a chance in Standard. I don't know. I don't get excited for basically any Planeswalker in Commander. It is very hard.
It's got to be something.
The last Planeswalker that I got very excited for was, I think, Teferi. The one that was like made for multiplayer.
I like Kaido. But that's because
is it even the one? He's good. Which one was the one that you can only, the Emperor that's six mana and then it walks?
Oh, that was
very There's a couple, like the Planeswalker can have like immediate value or gets around the multiplayer restriction.
That passive makes it really
there are some Planeswalkers that
there's a couple
work, but they feel like board wipes or enchantments. Yeah. And then this one, if you plus it, so in 1v1 you have one turn before you can plus it again. In Commander you have three. So there's a Planeswalker that you can plus every turn. That obviously works very well in Commander. But three mana, three loyalty, and then it pluses one.
There's two plus ones, the make a mana and the surveil one. Oh, they're both pluses. Maybe draw a card or both plus ones.
I mean, on the play, the opponent doesn't go aggro.
And it's, it's only like three mana with four abilities.
You can't really, like, you don't want to play it in a Llanowave deck because then.
No, the colors are kind of
so
awkward.
Ramping into it onto the Oko thing was crazy. Like, thinking about good three mana Planeswalkers, Oko was uniquely good because Gilded Goose.
I could see it.
And
I could see
because
it
being, of Oko's tax box.
Maybe it's a good sideboard card for the grindy Izzet matchups where you're like, you know, they bring Rowling sometimes. Yeah. This is like one mana cheaper. You just plus it to generate card advantage. It's a harder type to deal with.
That's true. I like the mana. I think the mana is really like helpful there. So I'm a big fan of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Three mana.
I don't know. Maybe it is playable, but like the thing that is a little awkward is that it doesn't really protect itself at all.
That is true.
Oh, actually, no, it has the stun.
If you play it on three, tough, how many creatures are they going to... If you're on the play, and then you stun something, and then you untap with this, and then you can deploy...
This is
three
really
mana, three loyalty, four abilities. They all do something.
Yeah.
Are we,
I think this
is
really good.
Good? Or are we... if they erode it.
I don't think it's like broken good, but it's in the right colors.
I mean, erode exists in the format
but
for a
reason. But that's fine, then it's
right?
ramp. For
probably
ramp.
Because
for
of
a
this,
reason.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
ramp. Yeah, for ramp, exactly. Yes.
What about Tortured Defiance, Krim? Is that still a playable standard card? Like a decade ago, that was one of the best cards in standard, and it saw modern play. Is it still good enough?
I think it still has legs, right?
It's still got
that plus still burns.
You still have removal.
They have to nerf the Izzet deck, right? Like, you're not going to make it to six mana.
They gotta ban Storm Chaser's Talon, I think. Although the early Pro Tour results from this weekend are that Badger Mole Cub is kind of crushing his
Don't leave out the boy and my favorite card to play in Commander, Dimir Excruciator.
Yeah.
56% win rate.
So actually, isn't this fine all along?
No, because all three of the decks are 50% plus win rate.
But Badger Mole is...
I mean, Badger Mole, it sucks. This way. I feel like this new Badger Mole Cub deck doesn't play Ovoroids, I assume.
Wow.
So Ovoroids and Vegemite Cup are kind of
on its way out.
Boring. Because it sucks because I want to build like cool beatdown decks and something, but this is clearly the thing to do, especially Ovoroids. It's like, oh, I want to build a +1/+1 counter deck, but it's kind of got to be a Ovoroids deck. And then why not Vegemite Cup because it's two creatures and they all have counters. So it's kind of too easy to build on. So I wouldn't mind Vegemite, Oboroid, Storm Chaser's Talon, all gone. If they keep long rotation...
No, you can't, because I think Vegemite Cub is the only reason there are creatures.
I want my mythic wildcards back on
the
arena.
No, you can't ban Vegemite Cub.
With Oboroid, that's eight mythic wildcards. I need them for my content. Please ban it.
I think they're finally going to have to ban Vegemite, though, because I think people are just playing it wrong the whole time. Like, I think it took until now for people to realize, like, they were only using half of the power, which is... the mana making power, right? Those Aboroid decks, you just use it to like spew bodies on the battlefield and then removal beats you. But then they realize that the actual power of Badger Mole, yes, the mana is good, but it's doubling your landfall triggers because you Earthbend onto fetch lands. It doubles your landfalls. You combo kill with Harmonizer. Yeah. So now decks are finally maximizing Badgermole. And if you look at the last two Pro Tours, Badgermole Cup was kind of a disappointment where we went into it thinking, oh, it's going to dominate. And then it was bad against Izzet. Now it's finally beating Izzet. So I think maybe we're actually at the point where Badgermole might be in the conversation.
Maybe it's
now.
Just like good building around the ETB rather than having it stick around because that's the problem.
It's like what I did in Commander with the Strip Mine in that episode. Like the same idea, right?
Does,
like,
Just Badgermole see play in Pioneer Mono?
Sees play all the way back to Legacy at this point.
I want it to come out. I just need the value. Please make it cheaper.
We got one more card I got to ask you about. This is the headliner from Reality Fracture, and I think this card might actually be insane in multiple formats. So this is Bloodline Recollector.
Oh, yes. I've
seen this. You haven't seen it yet? Okay, let's get the fresh take here. Hang on, the page refresh. It's a two mana 2/2. They're bringing back the prepare mechanic, which that mechanic's played way better than I expected. So it's going to be sweet to have stocks
going
to have more preparing. 2 mana 2/2 Vampire Warlock. So at the beginning of each end step, if 3 or more creatures died this turn, it becomes prepared.
Not you control it?
Nope, just 3 or more creatures. And then its spell is Ancestral Craving, 1 black mana instant. Target player draws 3 and loses 3.
It's so sick. I need this one to die.
So if you edict, you prepare it, and then I might need this.
In Commander, you're going to play this card so much, Krim, because all of your edicts to hit every player turns it on.
You have the mono black deck that's all about the instants and stuff. Oh, it's going to be gas in there because it just kills things all the time.
Draw 3 is insane. I am already rewarded with my shield. It's edicts. All of it.
You do have to.
This is also the serialized card.
There's also
set,
a headliner
there's
serialized version. Yeah. So there's more versions, but that's the base version.
I got to get the mindset.
So
I think it's pretty good.
Do you think
it looks good? Yeah.
Is this a card you play in specific decks?
It doesn't end up in that, but no, of course it doesn't. Okay.
Like, do you have to be a Sack deck or like a Krim Edict deck or something?
Yeah.
Or
Edict Enjoyers, what up? They made this for me.
If you drop a 2-drop and you're like, I hope eventually the board gets wiped and then it'll be prepared. Oh, it's dead.
But then it also dies.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you can't just hope for 3 creatures to just die on a turn.
No, so in Jeddah, 1 creature dies for sure.
Are you really that thirsty for card draw in black?
I have an ancestral craving.
No, you're sacrificing your edicts. Like, this is going to be good, right? It's going to be very solid. You play a Fleshbag Marauder. That's usually, if everybody has 1 creature on the battlefield, that's going to prepare it. Yep. And then you draw 3 cards. It's good. I think it's like, also mono black sacrifice doesn't really need this. There's so much card draw based on stuff dying.
That like, that's true, right?
Card draw. Yeah, it's good. But it's good there. I would run it there. But like, if you just jam it, it's like, oh, I hope I'll draw 3 cards. It's like,
I mean, isn't it cheap enough that you can like Toxic Deluge, play this, go to your end step, prepare, draw 3. Yeah. Like, that's only 6 total mana. Like, you.
It's not exactly.
Like, Toxic Deluge, it dies.
No.
Play this after.
First.
Deluge, then play this. Because it'll still prepare on the end step. Because like, it checks on the end step.
I don't know.
And at each end step, by the way.
I would just, like, if I'm really that thirsty for a card draw, I just play, like, Siphon Mind. Wait, 4
so it
mana,
doesn't
everybody
work
discards
with Tombstone
a card,
Stella,
I draw 3.
Right? Because it would. How, where's the if?
They'd sacrifice on the end step. So yeah, I think because they'd sacrifice.
If 3, yeah, and it doesn't trigger if.
It is each end step, though, too. So if your opponents are just killing stuff, you can potentially
Christmas
trigger
it. Land. All right. That's not Christmas land. That's not Christmas.
Have you seen Krim's decks?
Yeah. All the time.
If you trigger this every single person's end step, you've already won the game.
It's just good in Tox.
Play your Blood Artist or something already.
Good fair matter.
I think I could maybe standard
though.
Good too. I think there's a chance that it's standard good and like sacrifice decks or whatever.
I mean, prepared is very good in standard.
That mechanic has really impressed me. It's so limited, obviously. It's like just such a good mechanic. So I'm glad they're bringing it back.
Dude, Mabobber, that guy from Edge of Attorneys, the free sack outlet.
Oh, right.
So you definitely.
Is this basically like they said we don't do blocks anymore? Is this basically Strixhaven 2 if they're doing prepared again and stuff? And we're seeing the schools of magic. Is this just basically a 2-step block?
I mean, it's called what, Hexhaven?
Hexhaven.
I know, which
is
an ironically
lost. Reality
it's actually
is
so
really
cool.
Jace's warped world where he makes it how he. View like right like it,
the set is still Reality Fracture, but the schools of Strixhaven are now Hexhaven.
That's so cool.
So it feels like
but
an unofficial
have,
two-step
like,
block.
You have Liliana in white with the Benalia like stuffed on her, and then you have Garrick with the veil. So you have
it's all what if.
What if
Garrick had the veil?
Yeah, like I think that's awesome.
It's gonna be so cool. Yeah. I'm even more excited.
I think it's awesome.
Hold a breath through my
and like there's a one of the most badass like promo arts that I've seen from it is just like Jace in the center. And then it's just like Garrick, normal Garrick versus like, you know, whatever warped Garrick there is, and Lily versus like warped Lily, right?
It also, I know a lot of people were speculating this is going to be Plane Shift 2 or Planar Chaos 2, where in the original one, the idea was like basically we're going to bend the colors and everything is like stuff that's kind of plausible, like white getting mana tithed instead of like Force Spike.
Or Black, you know, Damnation, like, Black Damnation instead of Wrath of God.
All of these are like, they're, yes, at the time they were kind of like color, not breaks, but they're color bends, and they're not stuff that the colors usually do, but they're like adjacent. And we were thinking, a lot of people were speculating, is this going to be the same thing where they're bending the colors? It looks like from the original, from the cards we've seen so far, it's not doing that. It looks like it's like, it's no, it's more of a what if scenario.
Yeah. You're just taking everything you know. And then
do you
just
think
like,
they're going to do a lot of bendy stuff with the rest of the
set? I think things are still going to stay blue, right? Like, yeah, like a lot of, like, they're not going to change what blue
stuff like,
bends.
Oh, lore maybe blue bends, could try this.
Yeah, it's more lore than
I mean, at this point, what
a blue
would
extra
be
combat spell, maybe?
Oh,
I know
that
Mark Rosewater was
then that would be. That's just an extra turn, right?
But Mark Rosewater said, it's hypothetical in the color pie. Like, why doesn't blue have reach? Because, you know, they have flying, so might as well they could have reach, you know, they could block other flyers hypothetically.
I think almost anything
can
have reach.
Yeah. And then also, like, they said, oh, blue could, we're picking a third color for extra combat. Blue could, or second color for extra combat. Blue could do it because they already take extra turns, so they're already getting extra
then
combat.
It white.
So it's like, do you think we'll get like an extra combat spell in blue or something?
I guess my question is, outside of maybe like some shock value and some lore stuff,
yeah,
what is the difference between an extra turn combat in blue and an extra, like, you know, a turn?
Extra turn is
matters for the bracket system.
Look down upon
you can loop extra combats, but
I
not
feel like
extra
how colors do things is important. That, I don't know.
I mean, like at that point, like, I would just make it so there's another extra turn spell, right?
I'm pretty sure this doesn't matter because I'm pretty sure Wizards had said, if I remember right, that they're intentionally trying not to make this a color pie breaking set. So maybe we see some bends, but they've talked about that's not the goal of this set, is to try to do Planar Chaos and like screw up the color pie. So I think we're gonna see a lot of like character color pie breaks, like. Yeah. Blue Chandra feels like a blue card, but it's weird to see Chandra bleed a blue card.
Yeah,
so I think
it's
going to be a lot of stuff like that, where it's like you don't associate the characters with the colors, but the card's still very blue, right?
Yeah,
the blue Chandra looks like a blue Planeswalker. It's just weird that the name is Chandra.
Also, I'm really excited for the schools because I feel like Strixhaven did a really good job at like, okay, yeah, here's Boros, but it's very different than your typical Boros, and I'm really excited to see how they approach that with the other schools.
Maybe that means it's just typical Boros, and they're just like
an equipment
color now. Like, maybe the alternate reality
is
the
kind of sick,
reality,
though, right? Like, if like I don't
know,
because Demir had equipment.
Oh, I see. Like, they flip it. Oh, that.
Yeah.
Like, Demir might do something that, maybe it feels Demir, but it doesn't, it's not what you would typically associate with, like, the guild.
Because they redesigned how Lorehold plays.
Right, exactly.
So
cool. That'll be really
cool. How do they redesign, you know, like, Demir and differentiate with, like, Theryx, right?
Yeah.
So.
I just want to see more Spellslinger color pairs now. Not just is it? Let's give me Golgari Spellslinger.
How about Rule?
I mean, they kind of did this.
Rule Spellslinger.
Right, like that'd be fun, right?
Hey, Ramfin.
Because Mana Geyser.
We don't need any Spellslinger decks, please.
Ooh,
no. Those decks
green
are
Mana Geyser.
You get to play Blanca, but with every
Yes.
Oh, yay. We fixed green.
You just trade land tokens and stuff.
Make it playable. Every single school is just Spellslinger. Oh, yes.
I mean, that is kind of true for Strixhaven.
Yeah, why not?
Like this recent Strixhaven, right? Well, like everything is just Spellslinger.
That kind of is.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
it kind of already is.
The best archetype keeps getting better.
Anyway, everyone, that is our podcast live from Vegas. We'll be back to normal next week. So thanks for watching. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you're at MagicCon Vegas, hello. Thanks for saying hi. And come out next year because it's super fun. If you get the chance, like, it's definitely worth it. There's just so much going on. You get to see everyone. You get to do the gathering stuff. So anyway, that's our MagicCon Vegas cast. Have a good week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.
Bye.